Hey there, Loyal UTAS listeners, Julian Roberts here, just with a very quick 30-second intro for the podcast you're about to hear. It's just a 20-minute chat with CEO Ian Maffer. As ever, thanks very much to Ian for coming on. The last time we spoke, as you'll hear at the start, was during lockdown. This is a very, very, very different chat about B-teams, the future of the English football pyramid. And hopefully we'll keep up this level of interaction with the club on these obviously huge issues. And we'd love to know what you've got to say on the issue and any feedback on the pod. Feel free to get in touch at abbystandpod on Twitter and Instagram, abbystandpod@gmail.com, and we'll try and get another one of these in as soon as possible. But enjoy the show. Hi Ian, thank you very much for joining us. The last time we spoke would have been mid-lockdown, when things were a little bit bleaker, a little bit more uncertain. How's the past year been for you as the CEO of the club? Of obviously the promotion, and now we speak to you as the CEO of the League One football club.
Well, hi Julian, thanks for having me on. Well, it's been clearly a very interesting year. Last time we spoke, middle of COVID, and a lot of uncertainty around the club. Now we're, as you say, playing in League One and having not a bad start to the season. So overall, it's pretty good.
Have you found your roles changed at all since in this past year, or has it just been same thing, different league?
With a different league, it's the same thing, different league, same issues facing us, and still the carryover from COVID and managing all of the things around that. So yeah, it's very similar, but new challenges, particularly on the pitch.
So everyone who is listening to this will know you as the CEO, and you have been for some time now. I remember those conversations that we had last year. But something they might not know quite so much about, or something that's a little bit newer, is Fair Game, which is something that you've been instrumental in setting up. So I wondered if you could just sort of outline Fair Game, its aims, when it was set up, who's part of it, and how it all came about.
Yeah, Fair Game is a group of clubs that came together a few months ago, really with a view to influencing the Tracy Crouch Review into the future of football. And it's a group of like-minded clubs. So others include Wimbledon, who have a particular history of being concerned over changes to what might happen to their club with it moving to Milton Keynes many years ago, and now they've got AFC Wimbledon and a new stadium. There's Luton, Lincoln, Carlisle, Tranmere Rovers. They're all clubs who I see as being forward-looking, progressive clubs who want to make sure that football is sustainable for future generations. That's the real core of Fair Game. And if I've got one thing for your request of your pod listeners, is look at the Fair Game website and look at the manifesto there. It's a detailed manifesto as to how we think football could be and should be governed going forward, including an independent regulator. And I appreciate that for many, this is really quite dull and boring. And that's not what football fans really want to do. It's cheer on the terraces and watch the team win. But this is really important stuff. And the Tracy Crouch Review is a fan-led review. Fair Game is a group of clubs coming together saying things which I think most fans would really appreciate and support. But we need the fans to make their voices heard as well. So if your listeners support Fair Game, then be vocal about it, tweet about it, get on all sorts of social media, contact your MP about it, so that make a noise, so that Tracy Crouch does hear that fans really do back Fair Game.
I think the fundamental thing that you've just outlined there with Fair Game, almost everyone listening here would agree, is such an important thing to have. And it's great that United are at the forefront of it in setting it up. And I suppose moving on to sort of the crux of this conversation and why you're on the pod today, the topic of B teams and under 21 teams has come out in force recently, I suppose. So obviously 2016-17, B teams are invited into the EFL trophy, now known as the Papa John's trophy or the pizza trophy to most people. So as sort of a general question, how do B teams in the EFL trophy align with the visions of Fair Game?
Well, I think just let's take the first point about B teams and why people really object to B teams in the EFL trophy or pizza trophy, as you call it. And that is because it's seen as a stalking horse for B teams in the league. And let me be really clear. The club, Cambridge United, completely opposed to B teams playing in the league. To listen to Pep Guardiola talk about that's the future, and he just really has no concept of how football is run in this country and how important clubs are to the lifeblood of so many communities. And for Pep to suggest that Premier League teams should have B teams in the league, he really doesn't get the point at all. And I'd like, if I was in a room with him, I'd ask him which 20 league clubs would he kick out to make way for their B teams. So that's point number one. It is absolutely an anathema. It is a no to B teams in the league. I don't think the EFL trophy, pizza trophy, whatever you want to call it, is that stalking horse. And I think that's the point of departure I have. And I think Fair Game would also see that completely against B teams in the league. But I don't see that the trophy is that stalking horse. I'm happy to explain why.
No, go on. Yeah. Please do. I think.
Okay, so there are four teams in the league set up as we progress, and one of them is an under 21 side. Does that necessarily mean we'll get B teams in the league? No, it doesn't. Does it give benefit to the clubs? Put aside the finances, although there is more money in this competition than the Carabao Cup, but it does give a number of benefits to clubs like us. Number one, it allows youth players to get their debut. A number of our young players have had their debut in that trophy. And we saw recently Kai Yearn come on for his debut, score brilliantly. And, Kai is a really good talent for the future. But he's not yet at the stage where I suspect Mark Ponner would wish to play him in a league game. But he's great to give him exposure in that game. He's played subsequently in the second game we had. So good for youth players. It's good for squad players to get an opportunity to play. So Kai McKenzie-Lyle had a great game against Spurs. Distribution was fantastic. But currently, he sits on the bench a lot of the time. And to get a chance to play in a competitive game is really good for him. Thirdly, injured players. We saw Leon Davies get 30 minutes in the last game against Spurs. He's been injured for a long time. It's an opportunity to get him back into playing first team football in a less pressured environment. And lastly, and I was talking to Ben Strang about this last night, his view and a number of people who do his job is that it's great for recruitment. It is great to be able to see young talent, under 21s, play against men and see how they perform. And you could see that in the number of scouts that were at our game against Spurs. There were loads. I lost count, but there were a lot. And that's because they're wanting to see how they match up. So all of those benefits would go if we didn't have this trophy, which is why I think it is a force for good. And although I understand fans' angst about it, I don't think that's justified.
So aside from that last point of the four you just made there, with the first three, why is it so intrinsic that B teams be in this competition, in the sense that the Johnson's Paint Trophy, as it was before, is surely still the same opportunity to be able to give youth players a chance, injured players a chance, and squad players a chance? Why do we need to have these under 21 teams, which is something that is clearly... It's clearly unpopular with fans in general, just looking at the attendance numbers. Not that the Paint Trophy was selling out every week. No, I'm not saying that. But if the attendance numbers are so bad, like what is it about having the B teams that gives us those first three benefits that the format of the trophy as it was before didn't allow us or the League Cup for the same reason.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I think the point is we are where we are, and does it make sense to disrupt it? Because there clearly are benefits, the last one being the Premier One for having under-21s there. There are benefits to having the under-21s in there, and it is the competition that is now running. So do we need to dismantle it just because we are concerned that that is a stalking horse? Because I think that is the reason why people don't want it. They feel as though it is intruding into the, or creating the potential for B teams in the league. If that is the concern, I don't see the concern. So why rip up what's working actually on a number of different levels now?
Well, I suppose the argument is probably mainly that if we're allowing B teams in and we're just sort of going, okay, fine, look, that's happened now, and we're sort of rolling over in that sense, why do we really trust the people with all the power, all these Super League clubs who clearly have all the power, right? So Man City, Man United, all the big Premier League clubs and the Premier League as a whole. Do we really not believe that they're plotting something behind the scenes? Like, they've just got away with the Super League. That's just been announced recently. They sort of, you know, they got like a slap on the wrist for trying to break away into this closed shop league. Do we really trust them that they're not plotting something because they've seen that there's actually some sort of a support on some level, or at least apathy towards B teams in the EFL Trophy? And for them, the next step is clearly trying to introduce them into a league format.
I can see the reason for concern, genuinely. I do understand that. Which is why one of the reasons in Fair Game we support the idea of an independent regulator. Because I don't think football, left to its own devices, is capable of sustaining itself in a good way into the future without a regulator. And you have got evidence of that. And you might cite originally the idea of B teams coming in, but also more recently Super League, you know, what they were trying to do there. Whereas if you had a regulator which had teeth, which could stop that sort of activity happening, who would have, as part of its remit, the not only preservation, but allowing the football pyramid that we've got to thrive, then that's the way to fend off any conspiracy by Premier League teams. Take away their power.
Let me ask you this. If Fair Game had been set up in 2015 or 16, before B teams were in the EFL Trophy, would the organisation have backed the introduction of B teams at the time or fought against it?
I suspect. I mean, it's a hypothetical, isn't it? And it who is. Knows? But I'll take the hypothetical. I think probably they would have opposed it. Because it could be seen as a stalking horse. And I don't think it is actually that now, as it's worked out. And I think it does have some benefits. But you're asking me a hypothetical, so I'm responding to your 5 years ago, what might have been question. I'm trying to give you an honest answer. But I think where we are now, I don't think it's broken. So I don't think it needs fixing. I think what does need fixing is the potential for Premier League clubs to ruin the pyramid structure for their own benefit. And that's where I think we need a regulator.
And do you think the regulator would be enough to stop that happening? Because I think, you know, that people listening to this, the most important thing that they can get from this interview is just the sort of guarantee that B teams won't be, and I know obviously, you know, you're only one person, I'm not saying that's specifically down to you, but from a Cambridge United perspective, is the independent regulator going to be enough to fight off the massive power, the colossal power of these big clubs?
Yeah, I think it would be, and I'll give you the example of this the Super League. I was at the way at the Leighton Orient game last season, those of you who were watching it on iFollow will remember it was a really good game. And Super League was really buzzing before the kickoff of that game. By half time, Super League was in the bin. And the reason that was is that the lawyer, I remember the expression, we're all lawyered up with the Super League team saying, you can't do this because of competition law. We've got the law on our side. And bear in mind that I was a solicitor for 34 years. I sort of understand the legal aspects to this. And I can just imagine lawyers in the magic circle law firm wringing their hands at the point when government and the opposition said, well, if competition law's going to allow you to do this, we'll change the law. And so the rules changed and the idea collapsed. So by half time, it was dead. But we shouldn't be complacent and we need to put in place rules which stop it happening going forward. And so that goes down to having a regulator that's got real teeth, that has as part of its remit the preservation of the football pyramid. And I say preservation sounds a bit weak and limp. I want to see it thrive because there's so much money in football, but it just doesn't get distributed correctly, fairly. You distribute some of the Premier League riches. They're still going to be rich clubs, but it would make such a difference to lower league clubs that we can invest in things like training facilities, new facilities for fans, new stadiums, new stands across the country. It would be transformational and long-lived. That's the prize, and that's what I think regulator could bring.
Is there, I mean, this is sort of limited knowledge, but what you just said there about the extra funding for football league clubs like us, do you think that that's, I can imagine that being the sort of argument that, you know, someone like Man City might make if they're offering a certain amount of money to have B teams in a league structure. And obviously, I mean, you've made it very clear that you oppose it, but do you think they're, maybe this isn't just Cambridge United, but do you think there's that, like, what sort of, is there an amount of money or deal that you think would entice some clubs into doing it for the sake of the future of their football club?
Yeah, being honest, I think that there would be some money. Some clubs could be induced. What we've got to do is create an environment where they don't get seduced by that money. And the way to do that is to, number one, abolish parachute payments. Completely distorts the league, completely distorts player pay. So get rid of those and redistribute that money. Then the clubs are not going to be seduced by a bit of extra cash for the Premier League to agree B teams because they don't need it. You also do need to regulate what the clubs can do with that money. Rick Parry wrote a really good article in the Daily Telegraph last week talking about clubs being restricted from rich owners putting money in, only a certain amount of it could go into player pay. We've got to have some system of player pay regulation. It's no use clubs like ours and others in the lower leagues receiving more money and then just it blowing away in inflated pay for wages, wages and agents. We've got to find a way that that doesn't happen, but the money can be used to improve the infrastructure of teams and, for example, improve academy facilities.
And is that something that Fair Game are working towards, like the clubs become more sustainable without the Premier League funding? Or like, are we just going to be reliant on their handouts forever, do you think, like realistically? Or is there a way that Fair Game are working towards that not being the case?
No, I think there will be, when you say relying on their handouts, Premier League have got to realise that they're part of an ecosystem. You know, we had two players on our pitch last night who were from Spurs, who've been on loan here. We all operate as one. What we've got is a system which means that the clubs at our level don't get a fair slice of the pie. Give us a fair slice of the pie. It's not going to take that much away from the table of the Premier League, particularly if you abolish parachute payments, which is money they already pay at the moment. But let that money wash down to us, allow us to use it prudently. One of the things in Fair Game is that we talk about sustainability index. So clubs who are run well, prudently, don't get into the situation, far from it, of Bury or Bolton situation, they get more money. So you're rewarding good behaviour. You're also going to require clubs to be monitored so that they financially monitored, so they don't get into a complete mess like Derby did and file incorrect accounts for years and overinflate the value of their club. So there's a whole lot in it. There is, it's, I think, 60 odd pages manifesto on the Fair Game website. Do have a look at it, and I'd be really interested to see what feedback you get when your listeners have had a good read.
Just to take it sort of, I suppose, away from Fair Game for a second and sort of back to the sort of direct B team threat, let's call it. This is sort of, this is quite an open question. It's probably quite a harsh question as well to pose on you. But I think fundamentally it comes down to an element of trust, right? And I think what the Super League thing has shown for fans, of even of any club, is that you can't trust a lot of these bigger clubs. Do you fundamentally trust the Premier League to not try and implement B teams in the Football League over the next few years?
I think that's a fair point of putting it. I don't think it will happen, and I think there's enough strength of will in the leagues, Championship, League One, League Two, to resist it. Can you say it's never going to happen? You can't. I don't think, though, that the trophy is the stalking horse to it. I think it would be clubs in the EFL finding they're in such a financial squeeze, they've got to take any terms that are on offer from the Premier League. That, I think, is the real risk, not the trophy. And the way you get rid of that risk is to make all of the EFL clubs more sustainable and National League clubs more sustainable. So that means a fair distribution of money and some regulation over how it's spent. That's the way to deal with it, not fight against a trophy.
I think that's an interesting way of putting it, because, you know, a lot of people, you use the phrase, stalking horse a few times. Is it the EFL trophy? I think it's hard for people not to look at it that way, to be honest with you. I think that because it's such a direct lineage between, right, B teams in that trophy, that they've managed to do that. Why can't they do that, you know, implement it in the next step? And it's, for all the good reasons you've given, it's very hard for people, I think, to really get their head around, again, that element of trust of them not trying it again. Mm. And do you think that, what do you think the future of the EFL trophy looks like? Do you think, is there any world where, you know, fans have voted with their feet in general? So do you think the future of the EFL trophy will just stay as it is with B teams? Or do you think there's a world in which, well, actually, all those benefits that you listed at the start, they can still exist without B teams being in the competition, and then getting rid of fans' worries about B teams in the league?
I'd just rather get rid of fans' worries by hitting the nail that's really causing the concern from my end, and that is the financial vulnerability of EFL clubs who then might be seduced by cash to allow B teams into the league. That is the real worry. Focus on that. I would leave the trophy as it is, because I think it does produce a number of functions that are useful. There is an additional one as well. Because of the prize money in it, and actually it's not very popular, the entry prices were really cheap for that game. And there were a lot of kids at the Spurs game. Amusingly, there were a couple of girls, probably about 11 or 12, shouting for Spurs. I had that wonderful moment when they thought Spurs had scored and it hit the side netting. They cheered and everyone laughed. You know, it was that sort of lovely atmosphere. And so why not get kids coming to watch what's not to like? So I would just say, let's move on from the fearing that competition and move on to fighting the real fight, which is about proper regulation and allocation of funding. That's the real battleground. And I just don't think that the ending of the trophy would move the dial one bit.
Just as a final question, then we can wrap this up. Obviously you look at it from the perspective of someone who's running a football club, and it's a very different perspective to me, who just turns up to games and, you know, tries to have a good time. Do you understand why fans, first of all, don't like the EFL trophy, and why they why it worries them in the format that it is now? And second of all, do you understand the worries that fans have going forward and how that might affect the league structure, as we've spoken about.
I completely understand both those. I absolutely understand why fans have taken against this trophy, because I can see clearly how it is perceived as a stalking horse for B teams in the league. Completely get it. And as I said right at the beginning, I hate the idea of B teams ever being in the league, and Cambridge United would fight tooth and nail to stop that happening.